I love Lennox telling everybody to jab too. But like,
hold on. He's back on the show. Man, we got my man Eddie Gonzalez. I was giving him my best Roy Jones right there impersonation. As we talked about broadcasters and announcers all throughout sports, and because Bob Costas is retiring, and we are all rejoicing. Because I don't like Bob Costas. I don't like doing it. Now, look, I may or may not be biased because he was, like, notoriously just stern on his thoughts about Barry Bonds. And, yeah, you don't talk about my boy Barry Lamar Bonds like that. Don't be disrespectful. So that may have something to do with why I don't like Bob Costas. But so long. Get out of here. But you asked the question, though. You say, like, the national guys – they have like a bad Q rating, you think, just in general, huh?
Yeah. I mean, shout out my guy, Ryan Rucco, who I think has been really appreciated with his W coverage and now his NBA coverage as well. Mm-hmm. Michael Grady, I like what he brings. Mm-hmm. It's funny because these were local broadcast guys who then translated to the national. But I think, especially in basketball, I think basketball fans are just complainers in general, me and you included.
Right. We're either not saying anything or we're complaining. That's all.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't feel like we like any of the national crews at this very moment. And so I love Jamal Crawford. I'll say that. He's good. I don't know what the future holds for him, but I love him, and I hope he gets back into some more games. He's a busy guy. But, yeah, I think we just live to complain. NFL coverage is – you know, but they have so many crews, so it's a little different.
Yeah,
I actually really like Troy and
I think they do a good job too. Greg Olsen and he's with Burkhart. Is that who he's with? I think they do a good job. They do a really good job. Or I guess is Burkhart now with Tom? I don't know. But either way, they do a good job. I'm real lenient with the announcers. Like there are really no announcers that bother me.
Scalabrine, and the Warriors crew.
Well, the Warriors crew is the worst.
Fitz, I'm good. I'm going on both.
The Warriors crew is the worst, man. Fitz is terrible. I'm sorry. He may be a nice guy. He may be knowledgeable, but I don't ever want to hear him. I don't ever want to hear him call Warriors game.
It's a tough listen, my man. And I'm trying my hardest not to be complaining NBA fan this year, even though I am. But yeah, that's a tough listen over there. Give me the road crew if I'm gonna have to watch them.
Yeah, that's always. I'm trying to think of who I really like. A lot of people get frustrated with Cleveland. I like OG. I forgot my OG's name, but I like when he gets excited and gets hyped up.
The Cleveland and Miami crews just from all my years watching LeBron and keeping up with that. Like I like the Kaboom for the three in Miami. Yeah. I like all that stuff. Like I kind of like the local feel of most of the crews. But yeah, those two stand out. I feel like everybody's annoyed by them. Even some Warriors fans are annoyed by them.
A lot of Warrior fans are. I don't know what it is. Like, cause I'm with you. I like the local calls. I like the local guy getting hyped up when the home team does. Like, yeah, I'm all good. Like, oh boy, the White Sox announcer, like, yeah, like openly rooting. Like, I'm okay with that.
I like the local commercials too that we see on the breaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seen Nas Reed. He was on like some insurance commercials, and he's just in a classroom like a little kid, like ooh, raising his hand. I was crying. Like I love those. I love seeing those.
Now the best thing, NBA League Pass, and it feels like only MLB could do it too, but they haven't tapped into it. The in arena feed where you see the scoreboard. Oh man, don't ever take that away. Please don't ever take that away.
If you go to enough NBA games, you'll learn a couple things. One, nothing excites a crowd quite like free t-shirts. And two, most people don't know how to play tic-tac-toe in this world.
That's facts.
It's always fun to see. Man, there was a Laker crew. It was a Laker game a couple years ago. I wish I could find the footage, but it was just like a dad and his son. And it was like, you got to make two shots from anywhere. And they were the worst. I feel like they just learned the game of basketball walking out onto that court. Like they had no clue what to do to get the ball there. It was way better than the game. Like I love that type of stuff.
And you know the game ops people, they like be looking, oh, let's get this. No, that guy looked like he might have played a little bit. Like, nah, we're gonna go with seat S and T. That's what we're going with right here. Cause yeah, that one he might hit that half court shot if we give him three shots, man. We're gonna go with Granny over here. That's what we're gonna do. But the GOAT one so far this year, and this wasn't even an in-game situation, this was a broadcast, was the Knicks broadcast when they got the couple arguing and the girl was crying. Did you see that?
Yes, man.
They were like, yeah, Knicks fans, come to our fan fest or something. And the girl's just boo-hooing. The guy is not happy. And it was, damn.
Hey, look, I know they announce you when you go, and the crew probably, like, hey, we're going to put you on the big screen, second quarter.
You guys see what you guys got this guy believing?
When you look up and you on that screen, you're like, oh, my goodness, why? I'm not about to dance. Leave me alone.
Hell no. I'm not flossing. Here during this timeout. No, thank you. I'm okay. Delta Dental will not have me doing floss on the floss cam. No, thank you.
I'm going to see if I can talk to some people. We can get you on the kiss cam, man. We're going to really embarrass you.
There ain't nobody going to be around me. I was sitting by myself. There ain't going to be nobody to kiss. I'll be like A-Rod kissing a mirror. That's what I'll be doing. Oh, man, Eddie Gonzalez here with me, always taps in with us on Friday. Man, thankful that he could, you know, move some things around and be in a different time slot today. Man, so many things I want to tell you. One of the things we were talking about before we went to break, just looking around the NBA, and one of the topics today on the show has really been the Milwaukee Bucks and how they got here, what are they doing, what's next, all this other stuff. They got beat down in Memphis last night. Memphis didn't have Marcus Smart or Desmond Bane and handle those guys easily. Scottie Pippen Jr. out there giving them work. That was crazy to see. I'm a big proponent of everything. I shouldn't say everything. A lot of the things Milwaukee has done, I completely understand. Probably should have done it. The trade for Dame, I get it. Like, I thought they were at the end of their road with the Jrue Holiday group with Giannis and Chris Middleton. I thought that was it. Like, they were done. If you wanted to give another opportunity to Giannis to win a championship, I'm okay with being bold, going to get Dame Lillard. Doesn't seem like it has worked. Doesn't seem like it's going to work. But is there any hope for these guys, man, championship-wise?
Championship-wise, I mean, it's figuring that on the court. But listen to Doc Rivers last night. That doesn't sound like a team that's going to come together and just be better now, you know, and there's no simple answers here. They're two superstars or super max contracts that are going to be hard to deal with everybody approaching the second apron and all what picks are now and all this stuff. You know, you can't fire Doc less than a year after you hired him. Like, that's just going to look crazy. Who do you replace him with? Are you moving Darvin Ham up? Supposedly Giannis himself asked for Doc. Like, they're in a rock and a hard place. And then you got the whispers starting, and then Giannis actually saying some of this stuff out loud where it's like, yeah, if y'all don't fix this, I'm about to be out of here. Yeah. And it's always funny that it's not a Giannis diss or a diss really to anybody, but everybody put all – this faith in, like, oh, he's different than all these guys. No, Giannis wants to win like everybody else. Giannis is a lord by the big city like everybody else. Giannis is a Nike signature athlete. He's on billboards. He's everywhere. Him loving America is essentially him loving big city and big city life. So he's not immune to that. And, you know, I don't know if I believe the report that his choices are, I think it was Miami and Brooklyn or whatever it was. But there's moves out there that can be made. I don't know if this is the year, maybe it's next summer, but there was whispers a few years back. Giannis was unhappy, and we got to figure this out. And you saw them get aggressive since then. So it's like, you know, almost confirmed it. It's tough. There's only so many moves left for them. They've exhausted a lot of their draft picks. It's crazy when you watch them ship Drew off like they did, and then he ends up being a key component and title, not even 12 months later. So I don't know what their answers are other than bite down and just be better. But it doesn't sound like a team that's just going to be better. That blowout yesterday was nasty, and Giannis went off. You know, what more can you ask for him to do? If I'm one of them contenders, I asked today on Twitter, and it's like Miami can technically do it. Oklahoma City can technically do it. Golden State Warriors can technically do it. There's a couple other teams. I'm dialing that phone number today. I need to know. I need answers.
So this is something that me and Dan were talking about earlier on the show, and you – you understand the game. You understand how these things go. I think I'm in the camp of if I'm whoever the owner and the GM is, this is an owner conversation, to be honest with you. It's above the GM. I'm having a conversation with Giannis, and I'm telling him, we can't, we got to start, you know, keeping these picks. We got to start thinking about kind of rebuilding this thing back up. Not saying we're in a rebuild, but just with the cupboard is bare right now with assets that we have. We got to start collecting them as opposed to trading them off in hopes of a championship. I want you around, Giannis. I want you to stay. But what do you want to do? Do you want to be a part of this? And I'm in the camp of, if Giannis tells me he wants to stay and he's just down to be here in Miami, I can't trade Giannis. I knew Lou Alcindor was there, but this is the best player in the franchise's history potentially. I'm not going to trade him if he wants to stay. But if he asks me to leave, then yes, we're going to do that as well. The Dame's argument was, why does it always have to fall on the player? You shouldn't even talk to him. You should just do what you feel is best for your franchise. I think Giannis in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with that franchise, now I need to have a conversation with Giannis, but maybe that's just me.
I think you guys are right. There's two ways to think of it. And one of the dirty little secrets about the NBA, and I think professional sports in general, is how rarely these guys talk. Mm. You know, players aren't talking to their head coach much off the court. Players aren't talking. They're really not talking to the GM, really not talking to the owner. Like, when would they talk?
Right.
They got their own lives, and you got to talk to three people to talk to them and all this and that and other stuff. And yes, of course, if the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks called Giannis, of course he would answer. But it's like, it's one of the things that's not happening often. I'm with you, though. We got to tap in with him. He's our franchise player. He's our homegrown megastar. We got to know what he's thinking, what he wants. And at the end of the day, if he doesn't want us to ship off Dame and gather as many picks as we can and put together a three-year plan and we can get this free agent when we clear up some cap and we get rid of Chris and we do all that stuff, if he's not into that, and he's like dead set on, I got to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you have these conversations about, do we honor that? Do we honor that as an organization? But that doesn't always go cleanly either. Look at Dame as a prime example. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson is a prime example. You know, we've grown up watching, you know, Joe Montana is mm-hmm. a prime example. We've watched Jerry Rice play on the Raiders and the Seahawks, and this stuff happens all the time. So it's not personal.
Yeah.
And if they decide and Giannis decides, like, I'm not sitting here while y'all develop A.J. Johnson, who could be really good. I think he is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. That's his prerogative. That's the league we've created to where it's like, if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo and you're not contending for a title every single year, now we're judging you and we're holding it against you, and now you're a lesser player.
Right.
And he's the one, him alone has to deal with that pressure. Not Chris Middleton, not Brooke Lopez, nobody else on that roster, not even Dame.
Right.
So, I do think a conversation needs to be had and eventually will be had. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to hold on to him as long as they can. The new CBA is super restrictive. Mm-hmm. But people are going to be dialing that phone. And mm-hmm. if you get the phone call that says, we got Chet Holmgren, we got Jalen Williams, we got Alex Caruso, whatever it is, we have 8 draft picks, you got to at least think about it. You got to at least sit down with Giannis and say, hey, big fella. What you think about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
So look, that's something we talked about the other day. It was like, what does that even look like? Who has the assets? Because some people would give up damn near half their roster for it. But who realistically would have, like, I'm thinking about a young player and picks to send back to Milwaukee that Milwaukee would be asking for. The one I'm always afraid of. And I see them circling, and they've been circling for a couple years, to be honest with you. I know you probably heard the same things, is them damn Golden State Warriors. They've been circling, having a Greek night at the Chase Center. There ain't nobody, there's no, why? But they've been trying. They've been working, right? I see them cooking. But OKC's the other one. And OKC is a team where I know they love what they got with a Jalen Williams and a Chet Holmgren, but yeah, if you could use that to get Giannis right now, I think I'm doing that.
I think you got to think about what that organization is going to want, right? Mm-hmm. Do we want another star? Do we want to swap stars and just go? Or do we want to get a young guy who could be a star and we want to crop a picks and we want to spend the next 5 years building? And that's them. They've been buyers for the last 5 years, but they were buyers because they had Giannis, right? Mm-hmm. The smart route is, yes, give us some young guys who can build on and all the picks possible. And banking on them being bad in 4 years, kind of like, the Clippers are looking now and the Thunder are getting those picks. And, one of those picks was Jalen Williams and all this stuff. So you're banking on the superstar trade flipping. And they typically have historically. But yeah, if you're the Bucks, you got to look at that. You got to look at the Warriors and say, look, the Warriors aren't so great now. If we send Giannis over there and we gut them, we take all their youngins, we get Pods and we get Kuminga and we get all the picks, and they're a 30-win team in 3 years. Is that a win? Historically, it's shown, yeah. You bet on that, and then you ideally get some picks later. But you look at the recent trades, Donovan Mitchell, you trade Lauri Markkanen for him, and you get an all-star in that, and you get a ton of picks. That's probably the type of deal you're looking at. And if I'm the Bucks, I mean, it's intriguing. Yeah. It's intriguing, but you don't trade him if he doesn't want to go.
That's it. That's
and you're going to need Giannis to bang on that door and say, I got to go.
That's why I got to hear it from him before I trade. And I understand what Dame is saying, where it's like, number one, it's always putting the player in a bad light because they're the one that, quote unquote, it falls on, or they got to make the decision. So if he's saying from a player's perspective, don't even talk to me about it. Do whatever you need to do. But yeah, there's maybe a handful of them, maybe two handfuls of them where they're a little different. I got to talk to these guys first.
Yeah, and these guys are trying to do good business, right? They're trying to show themselves to the rest of the league that you're a superstar here and we have love for you. We'll work it out with you if things get bad, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And some of that's true and some of that is just, you know, showing face. But if you're Giannis, and we've watched a couple of superstars get traded, and I've heard and I've been around and I've seen some of it. It's like, you also got a way that if this other team guts themselves for me to be there and I'm going, and it's just, it's a lateral move at best. Yeah. Is that worth it? Is that worth all the hassle of me being the bad guy who asked for the trade and doing all this, that, and the third? And we've seen it with a couple guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, we watched it with Kawhi and the Clippers, and like, it worked well for a minute, but Kawhi and the Clippers is looking like a crazy situation right now.
Right.
And part of that is because they gutted themselves and they got rid of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They don't have picks for however much long and, you know, all this stuff. So it's tough. It's a tough situation to be in. I think the easiest answer is they see what they can get for Dame. And if it's the Miami package,
that's the move first.
If it's a Brooklyn package, if it's whoever's that enticed by them, you see about it. And you hate to pull the cord on that move so fast, but you got a Hall of Famer in his prime who's like, yo, we got to pick it up.
Right.
And you got what I think is a wide open East. I love Boston, and Boston is the cream of the crop. But I don't think, you know, they're so shot reliant, and you got so many injured teams in that conference, and it's the way of the league at this moment. Like, you got to maximize what you can while you have Giannis.
Straight up. Come on, man. Eddie Gonzalez here, man. Sacramento's own Eddie Gonzalez, man. We just chopping it up, talking a little hoop right now. 2 weeks in to this season now. Is there – we're 2 weeks, or is it 1 week? I don't know. Time flies. Who knows? But is there anybody that's kind of surprising you in a good way? Like, team like, oh, okay, they might be a little better than I realized. I'll give you my team. Cleveland. I'm really taking a hard look at Cleveland right now.
Cleveland's a good one. And as much as I don't love Evan Mobley, I'd love to see him be a little better offensively. You know, it's a very simple – very simple equation out there. We have those two guards who can create against anybody, who can create their own shots, create shots for other guys. Get them two big fellas. We're going to rebound. We're going to protect the paint. We're going to switch everything on defense and get some shooting. Yeah. And that's what they got. And they look like a great team so far. Got to remember, like, they gave Boston hell last year. Mm-hmm. And then their man got hurt. Like, it's tough. And that's how it went. But, you know, got a new coach over there. He's been waiting for his opportunity to do this, and he's put a lot more motion in that offense. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That defense is going to be tough. I like them a lot. I mean, I'm biased. I'm not all that surprised, but the Phoenix Suns look great.
They look good.
Big comeback win last night. Yeah. 15 straight shots in third quarter. Yeah. You've seen a lot of great offense. Got to tip your hat to Mike Budenholzer. Motion. Motion is everything in this league, and so those guys moving around and swinging the ball. Mm-hmm. You got Ryan Dunn looking like, you know, a steal in the draft that they got him with that size, with the ability to shoot that people are kind of surprised about. So that's they're up there on the list for me. I mean, who else are we surprised?
Golden State is surprising. What, 4-1? I think right now. I don't know if anybody has
winning those games without Steph is just shocking. But a credit to them. Credit to what they put together. You know, even when you hear about whatever they got going on in that locker room with Jonathan Kuminga. Still fighting through that, having the veteran presence to get through that and be better. I would say the Rockets. I like how the Rockets look. Like, shout out my guy Jalen Green.
Yeah,
look like he's made a leap.
He's taking another step. Like AI out here, boy. He looking like Iverson, boy. He looking like a problem.
LaMelo Ball, man. Like,
okay,
I'm just happy to see LaMelo.
I'm gonna pause you right there because that's exactly where I was going. One of my predictions for the season. This isn't the same as a championship or nothing like that. But one of my predictions was I said Charlotte's gonna make the play-in, and I thought I probably tweeted it out a couple times too. I thought this was a huge season for LaMelo Ball. This was almost a fork in the road season for LaMelo Ball. Are you going to realize your potential, kind of grow up just a little bit, mature just a little bit, stay healthy and realize your potential? Or are you going to continue to not necessarily be serious about being an NBA player and just be goofing off all the time and not realize your potential? And I think you understand this when I say this. Talent-wise, he's amazing. Marketing-wise, he could be one of the biggest stars in the game. Mm-hmm. These kids love LaMelo Ball. My son is 12. He loves LaMelo. Like, he knows about this. I'd be thinking, oh, yeah, new Jays come out. He'd be like, oh, the new Rick and Morty Mellos is out. Oh, I'm like, yo, they follow LaMelo. And I wanted to get your whole thought about this because LaMelo is showing and proving so far in this season his game. Now he's got to stay consistent with it.
He's got to stay healthy, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. You got a guy who he broke his ankle just taking a step backwards, mm-hmm. and that's scary. So he's got to maintain that and take care of that. But he looks great, and he's everything you want from a lead guard in the NBA right now. I asked the question the other day, and it was kind of I'm kind of nudging everybody into questioning what we're getting from Tyrese Halliburton mm-hmm. at this very moment. Mm-hmm. But it was also to kind of big up LaMelo. But I'll ask, you know, a host of guards, Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox, obviously Halliburton and LaMelo and Donovan Mitchell. It's like, who's better? Who's the best? Rank these guys. Ja Morant was the other one, I think. But LaMelo's in that class of player. And the only thing he doesn't have that most of them have is some playoff success. And he just hasn't had the opportunity. And even the playing games that he's played in the, I think, two series he played pretty bad. But he's in that class of player talent-wise, up there with Trae Young and the likes. It's just about putting it all together now. I think he's got a running mate, Brandon Miller. Look, they don't have the deepest team. They don't have a ton of talent over there. But in the East, you know, anything's possible. And I would love to see a great, fully healthy LaMelo Ball season. This is a guy who's made the All-Star team, and rightfully so. And like you said, one of those popular guys in the league. Like, you go to one of these AAU tournaments, and you're going to see who the guy is for a lot of these kids.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, like, half-court shots and tween step backs and all this fancy footwork and all this stuff, I always take it back to him.
Yes.
He's the reason kids are in the gyms pointing at the half court line and shooting.
That's a good point.
All due credit to Steph and James and all these dudes, but LaMelo is the dude they doing this for. Yeah. Like, don't get it twisted. So I love LaMelo Ball. I love what he's doing out there, and I hope he continues all season long.
LaMelo.
I think the last team I shout out real quick too is the Brooklyn Nets. Shout out to Cam Thomas. Shout out to Dennis Schroeder. They was dreaming of Cooper Flagg out there. Now they keep winning games and looking good. It's like, might be tough. So they're out there hooping, man. They look great. And Cam Thomas is another one of them dudes, man. He's up there with these guards, and he's younger than all of them. He's 23 years old. Like, he just turned 23. He's one of them dudes. Like, if you're not watching enough Cam Thomas, watch him. And there's a future in this league for Cam Thomas.
I agree. He's a bucket. He's another one where I want to see where his career goes. Does he continue to just be a bucket, or does that evolve, you know, being with Jordy Fernandez and being with a good coach, does that evolve into I'm a leader, or I understand, like, it's I can get buckets but still elevate others? Like, where does his game go? And you mentioned it the other day. I think I saw it when you tweeted it. He's still really young. Like, he came into the league at, like 19, maybe 18 and a half or something like that. Like, he was really young when he came into the league. And he's a bucket.
He's a young fella who's been mentored closely by Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Steve Nash, James Harden. Like, the guys who have done this at a really high level and done what he has to do, which is create scoring for himself, but also for his teammates. I'd love to see him in more of a winning situation. I mean, they're winning games now. I think we kind of devalue this type of player these days because we look into the analytics and we look into all this stuff. And it's not to discredit that stuff, but we do devalue this shot creator type of player.
Yeah.
And then we get to the playoffs and we go, man, like six of these dudes can't take two dribbles and do anything. They're useless.
No disrespect.
So it's just funny how that works. But I love Cam. I love his approach to the game. And he is a pure bucket. It don't matter who you put out there trying to guard him.
Yeah, no disrespect to this man. None at all. I don't mean it as disrespect, but it's going to come off as hate. I call that player the Jared Vanderbilt. They're like, oh, Jared Vanderbilt, he changes the game. He may look at him guard 94 feet, and then he plays against the Warriors, and the Warriors are like, we're never going to guard him. Go ahead and shoot, and he don't make nothing.
The easiest dude to not guard in the playoffs is the dude who just cannot shoot at all.
Yeah.
The second easiest dude is the dude who just cannot dribble at all. It's like, you can't go nowhere? Oh, we're on you. Like, get rid of the ball. What are you doing? And so to have a guy who can do both, and to devalue him because maybe he can't guard a 6'10 guy if he's backing him down, like, all right, come on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's basketball now. Right? We kind of overthink a lot of this stuff. Right. But, yeah, I wanted to definitely shout out the Nets, what they've been doing. And winning some tough games out there. Even the game they lost against the Nuggets, had to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. You got guys going shot for shot with Nikola Jokic, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is the type of team y'all got. A lot of teams passed on Dennis Schroeder, and they're sitting there looking for a backup point guard or lead guard or whatever who could create shots, who's done it in the playoffs, who's been on contending teams, and he's out there in Brooklyn. And it's like – I had KD tell me, real. We were in a group chat, a couple Nets fans, and he was telling us, they're too good to tank. Y'all going to have to get rid of some of it. They're too good to tank. Watch, they're going to win a lot of games. And sure enough, they win their games.
Shout out Jordy Fernandez, too, knowing this thing over there first year.
Yes, sir.
First time head coach, man. Big ups to him. And I'm sorry, Jared Vanderbilt. If you're listening out there, I apologize. No disrespect. Eddie, man, always a good time, man, talking to you on Fridays, talking hoop and everything. And we left the Raiders alone this week, so it's all good.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. Disney Peace, Mac Dre. Don't forget that part. Hey.
Yes, indeed. But, hey, welcome home. Welcome home, Thugger. I know you appreciate that. Welcome home, big dog. Okay. Yes, indeed.
Free Jeff, Jeff Free.
Yes, indeed, man. Eddie, man, appreciate you, man. We're going to talk to you next week, big dog.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.